An Introduction to the Devout Life by St. Francis de Sales. Book 1, Chapter 22. That we also must lay aside our disposition toward venial sins. As the light waxes fuller, we see the more plainly in our mirror the stains and specks upon our face. Even so, as the Holy Spirit enlightens our conscience, we perceive more clearly and distinctly the sins, inclinations, and imperfections which hinder us in attaining to true devotion. The same light which discovers to us these tares and weeds also kindles us with the desire to cleanse and purify our hearts from them. You will discover then, my daughter, that besides mortal sins and their affections, from which you are now purified, there yet linger in your heart various inclinations and dispositions to venial sin. I do not say you will discover venial sins, but that you will find a disposition and inclination toward them, which is a very different thing. For we can never be wholly free from venial sins, at least not for any length of time, but we can be without affection for them. There is a wide difference between a chance falsehood concerning some trivial matter, which is the result of carelessness, and taking pleasure in falsehood, or deliberately telling lies. Therefore, I say, we must purify the soul from all inclination to venial sins. That is to say, we must never willingly admit or continue in any kind of venial sin whatever. It would indeed be a fearful thing, wittingly to burden our conscience with anything so offensive to God as a will to displease Him. And venial sin, however slight, does displease Him, although not so grievously as to make Him condemn and destroy us for it. If, therefore, venial sin so displeases God, all consent and affection on our part to it is nothing less than a willingness to displease His divine majesty. Can any pious soul not only offend God but take pleasure in so doing? All such inclinations, my daughter, are directly opposed to devotion, as inclinations to mortal sin are opposed to charity. They enfeeble the spirit, hinder divine consolations, and open the door to temptation. So that though they do not slay the soul, they wound her grievously. Dying flies, says the wise man, spoil the sweetness of the ointment. By which he means that when the flies only pass over the surface of the ointment and eat as they go, what remains is uninjured, but if they remain in it, they putrefy and spoil it all. So the venial sins of a devout soul, which find no resting place, do no great injury, but if they are harbored and delighted in, they destroy the sweetness of the ointment, that is, of pure devotion. Spiders cannot kill bees, but they spoil and corrupt their honey, covering the combs with their webs, by which, if they remain, the bees are hindered in their work. So venial sins do not destroy the soul, but they hinder devotion, and so clog the powers of the soul with bad habits and inclinations, that she loses that active charity which is the life-spring of devotion. Always supposing that we willingly harbor venial sin in our conscience. Some slight falsehood, some want of self-control in word or action, in dress, in occupation, in amusement. These will leave no lasting evil, if, like spiders' webs, they are banished as soon as perceived from our conscience, just as the bees drive out the intruding spider. But if we permit them to remain, still more if we take any pleasure in them, and suffer them to multiply, soon our honey will be lost, and the hive of our conscience will be soiled and damaged. But I ask again, what sincere soul could ever take delight in offending God, rejoice in displeasing him, and persist in willing what he forbids? Chapter 23. That we must purify ourselves from the taste for useless and dangerous things. Sports, balls, festivities, splendor, the drama, in themselves, are not necessarily evil things, but rather indifferent and capable of being used or abused. Nevertheless, there is always some danger in these things, and to care for them is much more dangerous. Therefore, I should say that although it is lawful to amuse yourself, to dance, to dress, to hear good plays, and to join in society, yet to be attached to such things is contrary to devotion, and extremely hurtful and dangerous. The evil does not lie in doing the thing, but in caring for it. It is a pity to sow in our heart such vain and idle inclinations which occupy the place of better things, and hinder our soul from devoting all her energies to higher pursuits. Thus of old the Nazarenes abstained not only from everything that could intoxicate, but also from grapes and from vinegar of wine. Not that these could produce intoxication, but because the taste of the one might excite a desire for the taste of the other. I do not say that we must not use these things, but I do say that we can never take delight in them without imperiling our devotion. When the stag has gotten too fat, he hides himself in the thickets, knowing that he is not able to fly with sufficient speed from the hunter. So the heart of man, if it is encumbered with these useless attachments, which are both superfluous and dangerous, cannot readily, easily, and gladly rise up to God, in which readiness true devotion consists. Children run eagerly after butterflies, and no one blames them, because they are children. But is it not a ridiculous and a depressing sight to see men eager and earnest in pursuit of such unworthy trifles as those of which I speak, which, besides their own insignificance, run the risk of discomposing and injuring us while we follow after them? Therefore, my daughter, shake off all such attachments, and be assured that if the actions themselves are not contrary to devotion, to take delight in them is most hurtful to it. Chapter 24. On Purifying Ourselves from Evil Inclinations. Furthermore, we have certain inclinations which, as they do not arise from our individual sins, are not precisely either mortal or venial sins, but rather imperfections, and their results are faults and deficiencies. For instance, St. Jerome relates that St. Paula was so naturally disposed to sadness and depression that when she lost her husband and children, she nearly died of grief. This was an imperfection, not a sin, as it was against her desire and will. Some are naturally light of purpose, some disputatious, others are disposed to impatience, to anger, or to softness. Indeed, there are few in whom we do not perceive some such imperfections. But, although they are natural weaknesses, still, by care and watchfulness, They may be restrained and corrected, and at last overcome and cured. And this, my daughter, you must do. We have discovered that by cutting the foot of the tree and letting the sap escape, we can change the bitter almond tree into that which bears pleasant fruit. Shall we not also be able to get rid of our perverse inclinations and acquire better ones? There is no disposition so good by nature that it cannot acquire bad habits. Neither is there any disposition naturally so perverse that, by the grace of God, united to diligence and industry, that it may not be conquered and subdued. To this end, I shall counsel you and furnish you with exercises whereby to purify the soul of dangerous inclinations, imperfections, and tendencies to venial sins, and to be more and more strengthened against mortal sins. May God give you to use them profitably. End of chapter 24. End of book 1.